What are you going to leave? Let's coordinate the tip here.
Why?
Well, we split the check. We both have the exact same bill. So why don't we leave the same thing so one of us doesn't look like an idiot?
Mike Shope.
Well, what is the big deal if we both leave the same amount?
What do you want to leave? What's your inclination?
$12.
$12?
Yeah.
Good. Put down 12.
How much are you going to leave?
The Bulldog.
I'm encouraging you to leave $12. I think it's a number. There's nothing to be ashamed of. I'm writing $12 under gratuity on your check.
Are you going to leave $12?
You want to know what I'm leaving? I'm going to write down what I'm leaving right now. I'm writing a number. Now I'm folding that number.
You're not going to tell me what you left? Is that it?
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I am very excited about our show.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, here we go. Another week. So, did you watch the selection show?
No.
Why not? You might have had a good reason. I didn't mean that to sound like I was accusing you of something. Why didn't you watch it? Why did you not watch the selection show?
I don't ever watch the selection show.
You don't?
No. I'm going to find out what I want to know.
Isn't that all of sports?
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's action, like a bunch of people talking and going, Charlotte. Like, well, okay. I actually sort of forgot. What time was it on?
Six to seven.
Okay, yeah, I sort of forgot. We had the hockey game on. We had company over.
Company.
We had some highballs, and we played some pinochle.
Right.
My Auntie Esther, God rest her soul, would have loved it. We had Jerry Mile were over, and my buddy John Gale and his friend Carol were. So we had people, and the Sabres game was on, and I don't know, at some point, Jeremy looked at his phone and went, "There are six." And I went, "Oh, yeah, the show is on where they." So, no, I didn't ever really think to watch it, but I never do.
I didn't turn on the game. I didn't think to watch the game. So, good. We'll have to go back and forth here.
Right.
But you know everything there is to know, probably, about the UB part. I think one of the things about the, especially now, like, so it's getting to be a thing that we have a team in the tournament all the time.
Mm-hmm.
This is 4 out of 5 years that UB has made the tournament. The MAC tournament was interesting. I was out with a few friends watching the game Friday night. And I just said that this is the first one of these games ever where you're in the conference tournament, but you're in the tournament anyway. Maybe the night before would qualify, which was a blowout, the day before.
Right.
But that game Friday night was good. They were down in the second half, and, you know, like, I was in a bar. A lot of people were into it and rooting for them, naturally. But if they lost,
maybe they'd be an 8. Instead of a 6 or something. Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, whatever.
What like would they happen. But they were going to the tournament.
We talked about it on Friday, and our relatively uneducated selves as people following this, like, I would not want anybody to think that I'm, like, a super expert about it, but I thought, like, 5 if they win and 7 if they don't. Mm-hmm. Probably still a home team if they don't. And they won. They were in a good game on Saturday night, too. But it was just, like, on Friday night, like, they could lose here. And they're still in the tournament, and I've never really watched any Buffalo area team in that situation.
No, this time of the year, Canisius, Niagara, Bonna, UB, you watch them, and they need to win just to get there, and then probably get drilled by Oklahoma or something.
There probably have been Bonna teams that would have qualified, like the at-large bid Bonna teams, but not UB, and certainly not Canisius or Niagara. So that was kind of cool. And then yesterday was like, this is that time of year when we watch to see who UB is going to play. And the one year it was West Virginia, and the one year it was Miami of Florida, and last year it was Arizona, and then this year. And part of it, too, even though I'm not going, part of it, too, was like, what city will they get?
Right.
I have a friend who, she texted me last week. Her name is Jessica. And her fiance has been studying in the area of pathology. And apparently there's this thing where you apply for, like, you take all your tests, you do all your schooling, you take all your tests, and then And I don't know a lot about this either.
And your parents call the school and rig it, and then you get in.
Or that. Sorry, like, that's one way it can go, I guess.
Different story.
Different story, right.
Sorry, didn't mean to sidetrack you.
You didn't. So she was saying how her fiancé, he's the one doing all the studying, and then at some point you are asked, like, where in the country you want to go for your career.
Okay.
And... like, she wanted, maybe they're both from here, but she's from here, and they both wanted to come back. And so she asked me, like, Thursday or Friday, like, can you mention this? And I thought about it, just never really fit what we were talking about. Then I realized last night, it's a lot like this, where you're going to the tournament. You just, you know, this is only for a couple days. Right. I think for her, it's maybe a few years. But
right.
So, and she got Rochester, and they are going to Rochester. And so UB gets Tulsa. I'm like, okay, Tulsa. Salt Lake was up there. Like, oh, they just went. What, did they go to Boise last year? And so I don't know if they want to go to Boise again. And Hartford was up there. Like, you know, Hartford is not like the best city, but it's closer.
I was mostly just rooting for somewhere close. You know, I mean.
For the fans' sake?
Yeah. 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 I'm not worried about their travel or whatever. Like, but yeah, I mean, somewhere drivable, you know, like, you know, mm-hmm. take a day off of work and go make that happen.
Yeah, that would be cool.
And that's
Boise, you know, makes that tough.
Right, yeah, right. But Tulsa, that's not. Yeah, you're not just skipping work Friday and getting there in time for the game. Like, you would have to make more of an effort than that.
Yeah, right.
So that's tough.
So we've been drawing the short straw on those.
Yeah.
West Virginia was different. That was an early game, so it had to be somewhere closer, but probably. So I saw Sal tweeted a guy named Kyle Boone, who I guess is with CBS. And he made a list of food recommendations and bar recommendations of places in Tulsa. I think it's funny to think that maybe he's not from Tulsa. He probably is.
Okay.
Right? He probably
sure,
is.
Sure, I would imagine.
He doesn't say anywhere in here that he's from there. Yeah. Like, if I could do this for Tulsa. If you're going to Tulsa this, just, you know, nobody's going to know who I am. If you're going to Tulsa this weekend, here are my top 13 food recommendations.
Just go on Yelp. And just compile a list.
Elope Cafe, Fat Phillies, Burn Company. I'll just rank them. Yeah, right. I'll go on Yelp, or I just won't even bother to go on Yelp.
Right,
I'll
just restaurants.
I'll just list them.
Right.
So if do we know that it is the tournament comes back? Like, I want to do that. I want to list the. I want to rank restaurants.
Sure.
What do you think about that?
I think that we should have we should definitely do that.
There's a place for that.
Yes, there is.
Attention fans of the following schools: Iowa State, Arizona State, or St. John's, State.
We should do this, the Frozen Four's coming. I mean, it's not the NCAA tournament, so it's not as long a thing. It's, you know, two semifinals and then a final.
They're both just a weekend.
But that's just, well, yeah, that's right. Yeah, as it turns out. Yeah, it's 2 days. So, you know, we could do that for that, but, you know, whatever.
So,
time.
Give me, like, your sort of perspective on, like, what UB has come to mean in the area. Like, what is it? We always love the tournament. We love the tournament without UB, and we love it with UB. Most of us probably love it more. Maybe some don't care. Like, what has it come to mean that program, men and women...
Yeah.
That program has become so consistently good.
I think now is maybe when it could get really interesting. Like, it's been great so far, but the fact that they, you know, the way you just laid that out, they're playing Friday, and, you know, yeah, you want them to win because, you know, they win out the weekend, they'll get the highest possible seed and the best opportunity. There's not the tension, you know, they're favored. They'll be favored to win on Friday when they take the floor. They're a 60. They're not as high as some people were guessing they'd be, but still, it's awesome. And like, I'm finding myself thinking, could they turn into Gonzaga? Could they become like Gonzaga was? I didn't put enough thought into this to like get the timeline down, but I just know as. You know, as a sports fan, Gonzaga sort of showed up and then, you know, they won rounds and then they just kept showing up. And I don't think they were always like a number one seed. That's not how it works. But they've grown to the point where when they have a good year, they are eligible to get a number one seed, which they did again this year. And, you know, they're not Kentucky. That, you know, and they weren't Kentucky. They're not Louisville. They're not Duke or North Carolina. It's Gonzaga. It's the Pacific Northwest. And they just sort of showed up with this. I mean, I remember as a kid, Gonzaga playing Canisius.
You do?
Yeah.
At like the Odd?
Yeah.
Or Kessler.
Like that's who they were.
I do not remember them as a kid.
That used to happen. So, like, okay. And you know, being a kid, Gonzaga, like, who is that?
That's interesting. I have no memory of them until like the 90s.
So I don't know if that's realistic, but I think this is how that starts. Like you progress, and like, yeah, you're in the MAC, but if they get to the Sweet 16 or beyond, and you know they'll lose some guys, and it's college, so of course you know you got to replenish. But the coach is staying, at least for now, and can, like, is that possible? Is that in the window right now for them? Because then I think that changes a lot.
Well, Nate Oates, like, he mentioned Gonzaga in that podcast we did, like the Gonzaga of the East. He just slipped that in at one point, and he said something. I haven't listened to it maybe at all. Like, it's a couple of months ago or a few months ago when we recorded that, and that's the last time I've sat with Nate. But he mentioned Gonzaga as like a comparable, like what Buffalo can maybe become. So it's funny you say that. It works. And he talked about like needing support from the administration, mm-hmm. needing support. They got, I think UB from a fan standpoint is peaking or has peaked. And I don't mean like it will go down at all. I don't mm-hmm. mean to imply that. But when you had this year where games were like, it was just a tough ticket, just a flat out tough ticket. And I'm just used to this place where the Bills and Sabres are almost never a tough ticket. You know, like they're just, right. they're expensive. But you can get tickets to either team mm-hmm. easily. And UB became, we have stopped selling tickets to this game right. in 4 days.
Right.
You know, and StubHub didn't really work out. Like, it was just tough. So from a fan standpoint, which is one thing, I mean, I think it's going very well. And
right.
I'm not predicting what happens from here, but it's strong.
It was a story this year. I heard Nate on with Howard and Jeremy a couple of times here within the last month or so, maybe a little longer time frame than that. And he referenced more than one time the size of crowds when the students were on break. Like,
right.
students weren't around. And that to me is that's maybe never happened. You know, here and there probably, but regularly large crowds, and having it be while the kids were not on campus.
So there's the fan part, which is one part, but then there's also the administration and that, and like, I don't know stuff about that, but that has to be there. Gonzaga has had the same coach for 20 years, Mark Few.
Yeah.
So, like, this is a little bit, I don't ever feel good about this. Like, I know Nate Oates a little bit, but I don't know, like, what's in his head, really. I was thinking today, or last night, about how, like, he and I have, one night we were together, and Arizona State was on, and we were talking about Hurley, and we were watching mm-hmm. Arizona State. There really wasn't anything I could tweet about that I thought of that didn't sound like I was sort of either bragging about that or like sort of revealing something about Nate, which I wasn't prepared to reveal. Mm-hmm. But like, it was just funny that one time we were watching Arizona State play and we were having a conversation about them. This was last season, I think. Anyway, so what happens with him, I don't think it like is necessary for UB to continue to like really matter and win like it has, but it, you know, it's great if that lasts, you know, like if he settles in and he gets what he needs, whatever that is financially, if he gets what he needs, you know, that way, and it can continue like this for a long time, you know, I mean, that would just be really cool, and it already is cool. And I also like how, And anytime I see UB, like, so it's either games or it's like last night, CBS had a camera on them.
Mm-hmm.
They have like so many schools. They have a camera at Santora's for UB, and it's just so young. Everything just comes off so young. The players are, of course, young, but it's also like the fans. It's college students. It's young. I want to hear Joe about this. Like, you didn't go to UB, but, you know, we're all like, we're all in it right now. And one thing that was just said the other day by a guy who called in about the Sabres, and it's been said many, many times about the Bills, they are losing fans. Young people are just not going to attach to this because they never win. And when they do win, it's like shocking, or you just don't expect it. You have to win, but you also have to give people the belief that a team will win in the first place to get like full value out of that. And the Bills and Sabres have just been big failures at that. And so UB has grown this thing where, like, now we're at a point where, yeah, that's right. The whole year we knew they were going to be in the tournament. You know, like,
yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
If you follow it closely, you would say the offseason, they were the number one, the preseason number one in that conference, and they had been last year and routed Arizona last year. So I like trying to figure all this out. Like, what is it really right now? Like, is it something where we are going to, these things take years, you know?
Yeah.
Your habits are your habits. Your viewing tendencies and your interests in life, they tend to not easily change. You sort of stay. This is what I know. This is what I eat. This is where I go, you know, do this, whatever. Like, you sort of stay in the lane. And then UB has come in, and I don't know, like, I just think it's really great. And it has probably changed habits for a lot of sports fans.
For me, it's very subtle. Like, I just don't go to a lot of stuff. I just don't feel like I have. I mean, I've made this point. Maybe it sounds even like an excuse. I don't know. So much is wrapped up in going to my one son's stuff that I don't find a lot of time to invest in going to other stuff. But for me, so UB like qualifies for that. When the kids were littler and I wanted them to experience pretty much everything. I took Owen to a UB game, I used to take both the boys to the Kessler to see Canisius play just to do something different. Like, hey, let's get out of the house. It's, you know, $10 or whatever it is. Let's go experience this. For me, what's changed is every night that they played this year, I was aware of the game and followed the score, if not watched it.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew what was going on with them. And, you know, the kind of year they had, a lot of times that would be, it's, you know, the second half just got going and they're on a 13-0 run and they're up by 20. Like, okay, well, I guess I don't have to, like, really sweat this. They probably are going to win again tonight. But I prior to this year, as much success as they have had, even you know, with Reggie for a little bit and then once Bobby Hurley was there and now with Nate, I was never, like, I knew we'd hear it in an update that they're playing tonight, and I would leave here and just completely forget about it. And then the next day, like, oh, good, they won, or they lost, or whatever. This year, every time they were playing, I was keeping track of the game.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, doesn't it take years for that to just sort of evolve? And, like, the value somewhere in this equation is that win over Arizona last year. Like, you know, they're... How is it described, or how does it grow? Oh, look, UB's good. Oh, the coach left. Oh, there's a new guy. We'll see. Oh, look, they're still good. Hey, wait. They're in the tournament, the MAC tournament champions. Great. Second time in 3 years. Next year. Wow. Wait, again? Then it's Arizona. Okay. Crushed them.
Right.
That's like a big step.
Yeah.
And so now, like, the tournament, for this is just for me, maybe it's for a lot of people, but I'm not speaking for anyone here. The tournament game, which used to be kind of just not a novelty, like, that was the accomplishment, at least for this fan,
right?
This person, like, the accomplishment was getting into the tournament. You are the MAC team that's in the tournament.
Right.
And then last year happened. You know, going into last year, it was winning one would be the accomplishment because now you've been there three times.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's winning two.
Right. Getting to the second weekend. Right.
Right. And so, like, it's just different like that. And on the way up. And you can't expect that to be the case every year. But we've got that right now. Like, we've got that this week. Tomorrow is interesting. Who will they play?
Mm-hmm.
This is now, UB is now playing a play-in team. They've ascended to that point. You don't like the six. If they're a five, they've got their game. If they're a six, they get to play, you know, one of the last teams in. The Arizona State connection is kind of funny. If it happens to be them, that's a one-point spread, I think, Arizona State and St. John's.
Okay.
And then Friday, like during our show, was that game.
4 o'clock, I think, is, I mean, you know, or thereabouts, because there'll be a game preceding it, I would think.
So are we just going to run tape, or what are we going to do?
I don't know what we're going
we
do.
To
do.
We don't get to broadcast it.
We don't get to carry it. It's on we're not ESPN carrying 1520. It.
Yeah, well, I don't know. That's going to be a hard one, but
yeah.
Be fun.
Yep, should be.
And so, like, you know, what's Texas Tech? What's Michigan? What's Gonzaga? Right? Like, if it gets to that point, and then this season will play out, and then next year there will be that much more momentum and that much more interest going into that. They have a lot of seniors. They'll have a new team next year,
yeah.
You know? But this is really great. I mean, I just love what's happening.
Another way, like, I'm at least getting sucked in right now, and like you said, I didn't go to UB, but I'm getting sucked in right now, and one of, like, the smaller reasons for that, but one of the more fun reasons for me for that is, like, I have a lot of friends that are big Syracuse fans. Like, big Syracuse fans. And UB's, like, I think other than St. John's, maybe they've beaten every team that plays in New York that they've played this year, including Syracuse. So the fact, like, if they could get to a point where this can be consistent and, like, I can continue to have debates with my friends who are Syracuse fans and, like, that can go back and forth, like, I just, that's, like, another thing that, like, you wouldn't take into account, like, a bigger program like that and being on that level. So mm-hmm. That's the thing I'm enjoying the most about this season.
And of course, that win has its own value, beating Syracuse.
Right.
Because now, like, Syracuse can't say, like it used to say, maybe, well, you're still down here. I mean, they played there, and UB won that game. So, yeah, really cool. Good for you, UB. Good for you guys. 803-0550 is our number. We'll have your Bills and Sabres food and drink for you today through the day. We've got Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus coming up. We'll talk about yesterday's Sabres win as well. But as the great John Rothstein would say, this is March.
Mm. Is that the guy we had on the show a couple times last
yeah.
year?
Yeah, yeah. Who kept tweeting over and over, like
right,
sort of confusingly, this
right.
is March.
Right. Yeah.
Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Lines open. This is WGR.
And then you know that there's very few lines left. And I just had a feeling once we saw Buffalo at the 6, knowing that it was going to be an 11 next, I just, okay, I see what's happening here. And I kind of knew at that point that we were going to be in.
Bobby Hurley is back in our, what do you want, faces, heads, lives?
Orbit.
As long as they win tomorrow.
Right.
Will you watch that game tomorrow night? Arizona State and St. John's. Are you at that point?
Yeah.
I think I will.
Yeah, I'll be curious. Yeah.
Do you care who wins it? Do you want Arizona State to win?
No, I don't care. I saw one prediction, the UB's win probability. It's slightly different, I think, St. John's as opposed to Arizona State, but it's not enough for me to, like, actively root for one outcome or the other.
It's around 70% either way.
Right.
Still, like, that's so cool.
Right. So I don't need, you know, any kind of satisfaction. Bobby Hurley, like, you know, on the losing end of the game Friday would not make me, oh, boy, that's a lot sweeter. Like, whatever.
Right.
It doesn't really do anything for me. I would understand some people maybe feeling that way. I don't know. He showed up here and was good and then took off.
Yeah, we should be grateful.
Yeah, the way it worked out. Yeah.
Like, he got Nate.
Yeah.
So Travis Yost is Arizona State.
Oh,
and Travis was just on like a week or two ago, and he mentioned this text exchange that he and I had. Was that about The Sabres and their total points.
Yeah.
And I save all my texts. He has his, and he's like, you notice that when we get Travis, I send him a text message usually, and he answers. That's how we communicate with him. And he said, like, do you notice that we had this text from, like, October about how many points the Sabres would end up with, and it's, like, right at the number? Like, yes. He's like, and he came on, he brought that up. There's another one that he and I have. When I was watching Arizona State one night, and we were texting. I just had the thought, like, I wonder what Travis thinks about Hurley as his coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, love him. And I said, this would have been, like, in January. I said, UB 7 versus Arizona State 10. Like, who says no to this first round tournament game? He's like, no, sounds great. 6-11 right. If they win.
Close.
As right. It happens, but close.
Yeah.
Scott is with us on WGR. Hello, Scott.
Hi, how you doing? Before, it's funny, Gonzaga became good, I think, in like 1998. But before that, not 10 years before that, they had arguably the greatest point guard in the history of the NBA in John Stockton.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever talks about that.
We did a whole week of shows on it, like in February, actually. Other than that, you're right. I never hear anybody else mention that.
Yeah, nobody really picked up the lead from us after that.
Yep.
Like I was thinking more of like Gonzaga to me is more like, you know, a smaller MAC school. Your private school is kind of like your Canisius Niagara's. I equate UB to being, I don't know what they would do this because it would cost them an awful lot of money. Joining a conference like the Big Ten, or if they didn't do that, maybe them becoming kind of like what UNLV was in the 80s and the 90s, you know, dominating the Mountain West. Well, it wasn't the Mountain West then, it was the Big West Conference.
Mm-hmm.
But they have the ability to be that, I think. And I've been following them for probably about 3-4 years now. I started following them the year that they lost in the MAC finals. They had a 20-point lead, and they had Turner Battle.
Right.
And they lost a heartbreaking game. But
to Ohio.
Team. Yeah, oh, against Ohio, right. Yeah, and then they beat Ohio a couple years ago, I think, in the tournament to get to the championship game.
Mm-hmm.
The year that they lost to Miami, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an exciting program. I mean, they're guard-oriented, which they're like 6'7" deep, which if they just had a big man in the middle, another big man to compliment Perkins, they could make a run at an Elite Eight, you know, an Elite Eight at least till next weekend, I think.
Can there be, you know, Scott, like, can there be that elite prospect who thinks of them? You know, I would date myself with any college basketball references like this. The only ones I can think of listening to you are from 20 years ago, because that's when I really cared about it. That's when I really followed it. I think of a Donald Foyle.
Right.
Remember Donald Foyle went to Colgate? Like, that's the last Colgate tournament team before this year, isn't it?
Right. And he was an engineering major. The only reason he went there was that they had the best engineering program.
Good for you for knowing that.
He would have never touched the Patriot League school. You never get guys like that. It's a rarity.
Good for you for knowing that. Thank you, Scott. Well, maybe. I mean, I don't know how big Gonzaga is or even how big Vegas is school-wise, but UB is big. I mean, UB is big enough
it's got a lot of,
to matter.
There are a lot of resources. It's just a question of what, you know, how, you know, how they want to deploy them. And do they want to devote what it takes to grow it to that extent? You know, I think right now you should, I mean, this will be a very interesting year, these games themselves, and then what happens moving forward, like what sort of team they put together after so many of these players that have been so good during this run for them depart. Can they restock, reload that quickly, and just keep going? I mean, the first time they sort of had to do that was when Hurley left, and there were a couple of guys, at least one that was really notable that was leaving, and like, oh, here we go, you know, and like, who's Nate Oates? And they did not really skip a beat. They just kept going. And the last time we talked to Nate, you know, he said this, the door is just wider than it's ever been now for people that want to walk through it, that know who UB is and what they're about. So yeah, I don't know that you're about to be stealing away guys that, you know, Kentucky and Duke really want.
You can't get Zion here.
Right. But There is a lot of talent out there. It's one of the reasons why the tournament and the like mid-major programs have been as successful as they have. I mean, there's just a lot of good players. And they're definitely in the mix for, you know, not the McDonald's guys, but the guys after that. I think, like, they're a player in that now with the success they've had. And this year could be the year it really takes off if they win a couple games and make it to the second weekend.
Yeah, you get that second week of attention if you do it. I mean, that's what...
Right.
When they lost to Kentucky, you just never heard their name again.
Right.
Last year. That was a decent game. Like, they had a chance in that game. But if they can win two, yeah, I mean, I'm watching it change and enjoying it and happy to have UB. And I wonder if there is a benefit at all to Canisius and Niagara, who are not in the same conference. I mean, is there some residual benefit to those programs? Niagara is looking for a new coach now. I know that. And Reggie Witherspoon is at Canisius, and they had an okay year, right?
Yeah, and poor Bono yesterday. I mean, they had a very hot second half of the season and they were up 12, 14 even in the first half of that game, and then just could not score in the second half of that game. I mean, they scored 19 points in the second half. And even with that, they had like two really good looks at winning shots there and couldn't get it to fall. So that was tough for them.
UB is 66-1 to win the tournament. Same odds as Syracuse and Florida, by the way. My friend Carlin Hartman is an assistant at Oklahoma. Oklahoma squeezed in. They're 150-1. They're a 9, I think. Baylor, where my wife went to school, is 150-1. They are a 9, and they play Syracuse,
right,
the winner to get probably Gonzaga. Are you doing brackets? Who's doing brackets?
I'm doing a bracket.
Are we doing one here?
You mean like, are you organizing a pool, or are you just going to find a bracket and fill it out?
Right? Oh, no, I already filled. I filled one out for somebody else's pool, and generally I only do one. I just kind of plug that in everywhere because I like to have one rooting interest. I like to be consistent. So right. Like, I think the teams I've picked. Now it's just about figuring out where I'm going to put this bracket.
Are you willing to spend some money?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Gotta.
You right? Gotta do you gotta. It. You gotta spend some money.
It's a tradition unlike any other.
How much?
In March.
I have never done an online bracket entry that costs anything. We've had office pools once or twice. I ran them. I'm not planning on doing any of that. Maybe someone else. I hope someone else, you know?
Yeah.
Do I have to?
You're looking at me? You want me to do
it's
it?
It's not gonna be me.
To run the office pool? Anyway. I've never put an entry into a site, though.
Yeah.
I think on DraftKings you can do that now, maybe, I heard. I'm sure there's lots of places.
Sure, yeah. I mean, ESPN.com has a... I assume that's a free contest.
Yeah, I've done that before.
I've never done that.
And they tell you after, like, the first game is over that there are going to be no undefeated, no perfect entries, no perfect or something. Brackets. Like, they know by the first day there will be no perfect brackets. Yeah, I've done those. I'll do that again, but I want to put some money in it. You have a strategy, Joe? You just have teams you like? What are you doing there?
Normally, I like to, just get gut feeling on different teams. I have no idea about anything about any of these teams generally, so I would just pick. If I read one thing on one team, I'll be like, oh, they're going to the Sweet 16. And this year I'm looking at 538 a lot because, I don't know, I'm starting to get into that site a little bit. And I fell into picking favorites in almost every game this year. I don't like doing that.
Do you pick Duke as your winner or not?
Yeah, I did. But I almost never pick like a favorite. I always pick like a three or... The one year I think I won my pool was when I picked UConn. And they were...
Oh, that Kevin Ollie team?
Yeah, they were like a five or a six. They were not a one seed. I know that.
No, they were definitely not.
So
do you pick... Here's how I would do it. I mean, I'm not going to tell you the first thing about the matchups between these teams or anything like that, but I know how they're seeded, and I know a little bit. So the decision-making process for me is, all right, first question, do I pick Duke? How many people will pick Duke? If I do, then who do I pick to have them beat in the finals? If it's North Carolina, how many people will pick those two teams to make the finals, and what are the chances of it? Like, it's all just going to be sort of game theory type stuff, and I'll probably make mistakes, but that's how I would approach it. if you take a UB to win the tournament, and they do, or some team like that, then you're in great shape as long as they win the tournament.
Right.
So I wonder what the right play is there. But Duke is a solid favorite. Gonzaga is the third choice as a one seed. And, you know, one thing, too, is like you hear experts come out of all corners to tell you about these matchups and, oh, watch out for the 5-12 game and everything like that. Like, there's all these experts that you didn't even know were lurking there. They're just now they just come. They're like that bug that comes out every 17 years. The cicada, is that the bug? This is just like every week.
Might be, yeah.
This week, every year, these bugs come out and they tell you, oh, the one seed's actually, you know, like they just have all those kind of numbers.
Right.
And if there's a certain team that a lot of those voices are pushing, I will not pick them because there's just no, that's just my attitude anyway. You don't know.
Right.
You know the history, but you don't know. Like, it's still pretty random. If you can rally a bunch of people to pick all the 12 seeds, I will take my chances with the 5 seeds. Like that.
Or you can just pick based on which mascot you like better.
Right.
You can do it that way.
Or you can do that.
Like, what animal would win a fight?
Right. Oh, I'm going to do another one and do it that way. For sure. Bulls would get pretty far in that, I think.
I would think.
Yeah. Sun Devil, though?
I don't even know how to compare a Sun Devil.
Right. Whatever its powers, I don't really know.
A Johnny.
I would imagine that they have to be pretty powerful, though. Sun Devil.
You're combining two powerful things.
That's right.
Right, yeah.
Suns and Devils.
Maybe I wouldn't like the Bulls' chances.
Maybe it's Go St. John's.
Right. And he's got that. There's a
trident? What's he got there?
Right.
Is that it?
I don't think it's a trident, but it's like a trident.
Brick had a trident.
He's got some sort of a three-pronged, I don't know. He's got a weapon. Like, that seems like that would be handy fighting a bull.
I think that is a trident.
Okay.
I think it
isn't
is a
it?
Trident.
That's
yeah.
what it is, yeah. Okay.
I think so. It is. Right.
St. John's the Red Storm.
I don't like
the sound of that either. That's tough draw.
Right, that sounds like the smoke monster from Lost. It's just going to envelop everything. Right. Like, I don't know, what's going to happen now? Where am I?
How come no teams are called the Smoke Monsters? Mm-hmm. That would be a
Maybe
good nickname.
Maybe there is a team named the Smoke Monsters.
Maybe there is.
I don't think they're in the tournament.
Let's start a university and name it the Smoke Monsters.
I listen to those guys. All they did was talk about the mascots. They don't respect it. You missed the last 40 minutes. Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, coming up at 4. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with Sneaky Joe DiBiase. This is WGR.
All right, we got our first giveaway of the week here. A pair of tickets right now to check out WWE's live Road to WrestleMania. This event is Sunday at KeyBank Center. Minimum value of the prize is $50. General contest rules apply.
Sunday.
This Sunday. There are tickets available for purchase at tickets.com, but you can win a pair right now. 644-9878, caller 5.
Got a draft on Sunday.
Of course you do.
It's at 3, and it's like an auction baseball. It's an auction draft followed by a reserve draft where, like, that's where you draft your backups in a snake format, followed by a 5-round farm draft.
Oh, my God.
Where you draft minor leaguers. And I signed up for this other league. A friend from a football league I was in asked me to do it, and that draft was at 8 on Sunday night, and this other one I just mentioned is at 3. So I asked the guy, I'm new into all these leagues, I've never played fantasy baseball, or at least not in many years. And so I asked the guy who runs the league that's drafting at 3 on Sunday, will we be done by 8? And he said, no chance. There's no way we will be done by 8.
Oh, no. You don't have to go somewhere for this. It's just on a computer. You can do it on a laptop or something.
I don't know. I have one tonight that I know I'm drafting from home because most of the guys are in Toronto. That's the $30 Canadian League.
Right.
This one on Sunday, I hope that there are guys locally who will get together for that. I would like that. And then that might also be possible. That night one was moved to Monday of next week. So.
At your behest or just...
I just mentioned that maybe someone else already have. I just mentioned, like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
And then there were some other people who said, okay. Yeah, it's not great for me, so it's going to be Monday. Right. Any tips?
Farm draft?
Any draft. Any of it.
Farm draft.
Well, it's basically
get a tractor early.
Right. Would tractor be the first pick of a farm draft? What about a barn? Do you just get? Does everybody get the barn? What about crops? So in like, I mean, that one just has that farm draft element.
Right.
And that is a keeper league, so a lot of the big stars are already taken. The other two, tonight, redraft, so it's just everybody. And every one of these drafts, allowing for some possibility of a change at two because of format, is Mike Trout, then Mookie Betts. Anything I turn on, any article I click on, any anything, fantasy baseball goes one Mike Trout, two Mookie Betts. Then three, maybe a half a dozen guys. Right, Kyle?
And I went third.
Who went third?
I went third.
Okay.
Third, I went Arenado.
Arenado.
I had a pick of Jose Ramirez, too, I believe, and Scherzer.
Jose Ramirez, Scherzer, maybe depending on format. Yelich, maybe. Trey Turner to get your steals, maybe. Acuna, maybe. And there may be someone else here, too.
Ian Soto went pretty high this year.
JD Ramirez.
Martinez. Yeah.
JD Martinez.
Yeah.
Jose Ramirez, JD Martinez. He's got like a half dozen guys there who might be worthy of the third pick.
Well, I like that Mookie Betts is like unquestionably above that.
He seems to be, he's the whole tier
good.
Two.
Good.
Trout is the whole, it's never Betts, right. Then Trout.
Right.
Trout, then Betts, and then
a bunch of
it's
guys.
Wide open.
All right.
Yeah. So, you know, if you end up, someone like gun to your head, I need you to do a fantasy baseball league, at least you know how to start it.
Sure, yeah.
You have to draft right now.
Right. I could, yeah. I mean, I'm sure I could access some rankings and figure it out. Yeah. Or just have an app do it for me. Right. Is there that? Like, just like there is with football?
I have not found one that I like as much.
Mm, okay.
That like just sort of guides you.
Well, there's a project for you to work on then.
maybe it exists. I just
don't
know.
You should come up with that.
Yeah, that sounds like something I can
do. I'll help you.
Yeah.
No, I won't.
Yeah. I'll use all my computer programming expertise. I'll draw on that. Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus on the Bills and the NFL draft, which is coming up on just over a month away. We'll talk to him after this. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.